rough. They're going to bust loose. Yeah, they're going to do it. They're going to bust loose.
They're a powder keg juggernaut. Okay.
Average Joe conversation with average guys, Tyler and Wes with Walk the Plank.
Welcome back, everybody, to Walk the Plank Sports. We are now
in our fourth episode.
But it's raining, so it's got us away from our Blair Witch Project back scenery drop that we like so much.
I know you're so disappointed in that. I had to request a smile more, so.
Yeah, Tyler's smiling for you guys, but we.
The grill.
It's kind of an interesting setup in here. I mean, you've got. Kind of plain, man. You could really do some crazy stuff in here, man. See the colors we got. As Martha Stewart's been here and whatnot, but
that's post jail time, not pretty. Just make sure you're under, yeah. Clear on that.
Post jail time, man. She spent a lot of time. The billionaire that spent some time in prison for basically what, money laundering and whatnot, and now we have the.
Oh, it was not jail time. That was vacation. Isolated vacations in Martha.
Anyway, very interesting. We've upgraded our camera work, sound quality, and all that good stuff. But this past week, we've had a lot happen. Peyton Manning, the iconic Peyton Manning, has gone. He's left the building.
I mean, we knew that was going to happen. You knew that when he won the Super Bowl. It was just a matter of time, and it's come true. Peyton is done, and he had a great career.
He had one of the best careers ever. And we also had the almighty UFC. We're going to retouch on that and see what went down. And then
and maybe a tinfoil hat conspiracy theory.
Yeah, maybe. We've been punching that around for quite a hot minute, putting things together. We'll touch on that.
Friendships were lost during that.
Yeah, we had the, let's see. Well, the pro days are coming up. They're here. They're among us. And we're going to give all that. We have draft predictions, Jim Harbaugh, and we're going to touch slightly on college baseball.
Let me add one thing. Spring football.
Man, it's here. It's here.
It's here, and it's going good, going hard.
It is. But like I said, we've made some improvements in to our game and whatnot, and next time, hopefully we can film, and it'll be a better backdrop. But anyway, these are the things we're going to touch on, and we'll get back with you very shortly, guys. And this is the part where you can put up you can sponsor us. You can put up your commercial, whatever, but we've already got one, so we're going to throw that up there shortly. See you soon, guys.
Smile.
Walk the Plank.
Welcome back, everybody, to Walk the Plank Sports. It was a quick break. We're going to go directly into it. No BS around it. Peyton Manning. The Peyton Manning has called it quits.
It's kind of surreal, though, isn't it? Like, we knew it was coming, but still.
It's kind of surreal, but, you know, last year, even winning the Super Bowl was surreal to me because he really didn't have an arm. Let me clarify this. He didn't have the Peyton Manning arm that we all grew up with. So, being surreal, yes, because it's sort of like, is it Brett Favre surreal?
No, Brett Favre. I think Peyton is done. Brett Favre, I'm done. I'm back. It was like a kind of a freak show, I guess.
Well, he wanted that Super Bowl, and he stated that he always wanted a running back, and that's what he got with Minnesota with AP. But Peyton Manning is gone. Will his legacy be? And this is a silly question for me to ask because I'm obligated to do it.
But you know the answer.
Will he be a Denver Bronco in the Hall, or will he be a Colt in the Hall? He's not going to be a Bronco in the Hall.
It's 100% Colt. It's got to be Colt. I mean, he played, what, 3 years in Denver?
Four.
Okay, so he's off on one. And the rest of his career was Indianapolis. So he's got to go Indy in the Hall.
Yeah, I mean, you would just have to. I mean, his categories are absolutely sick. He's like leading, and he's first in just about.
I mean, let me run through these stats.
Go ahead. This is crazy.
His career passing yards is just under 80,000 yards. 72,000 yards. It's 71,940 yards career passing. Career passing touchdowns, 579 Career wins, right at 200. Playoff appearances, 15. Career 4,000 yard seasons. I'm going to say it again and slowly. Career 4,000 or plus yard seasons, 14. Career game-winning drives, 54. Career 400-yard passing games, it's 17.
And Super Bowl appearances that he's done, which we all know about. But there's one key element that he did with the struggling Indianapolis Colts, Baltimore Colts organization that hasn't been done in probably ever. He came on, and after his rookie year, I think it was like his third or fourth year. Indianapolis Colts, yes. Because I've got it confused with the Ravens. But what I'm saying is that he initially came on and he led them to 12 consecutive 10-win seasons in the NFL.
Here's the biggest one to me. Pro Bowl appearances, 14.
Most NFL careers don't last 14 years. Okay, your average running back, they'll last, what, 4 or 5 years?
I say anywhere from 4 to 7, 4 to 8 years.
4 to 7, 4 to 8 years?
He may go on longer, but he's not going to be a premier back for much longer.
Okay. Well, we
Man, how many years was Peyton pro?
Peyton was pro for 18 years. So, or 17. He retired on his 18th, I believe.
Okay, 18th was magical. 16 to 18 years. 14 of those years, he was a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to consider the SEC pro, because it's a mini camp for the pros. But yes, Peyton Manning has been around, and that's really all that we know. And there's not so much a torch that is going to be handed off. I know everybody can argue about it, you know, all this, but is Peyton's legacy? What do you think it will go down? Me personally, I think his legacy will go down as that guy that studied game film constantly.
Well, that's what he said in his press conference. There are better players than Peyton out there. But he said there was no one, absolutely no one, that outstudied film than he did.
Oh, we can't debate that.
Here's my legacy to Peyton, man. Sorry to interrupt. But I actually had the pleasure of meeting Peyton and talking to Peyton for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. Eli Manning, senior year at Ole Miss, saw him in the Grove. Their tent was right next to ours. And he was the nicest, most down-to-earth person you had ever met. If you didn't know who Peyton Manning was, you would have never known he was a big-time NFL quarterback. Never.
Yeah, he definitely grew up in a structured environment and a structured family, and even for so in the NFL, it was all family with him. You're talking 18 years, what, he only had 3 coaches? Maybe 4 coaches in 18 years?
And what, the NFL?
Yeah, in the NFL.
Okay, 3.
Yeah, and, you know, one could argue at Tennessee, you Tennessee Vol fans, you know, who was his actual mentor at Tennessee? Me personally, I think it was David Cutcliffe.
I agree 100%.
Everybody else will probably argue me down and say Phil Fulmer.
Well, they really can't, because, I mean, even the Book of Manning, David Cutcliffe was his prime guy.
I don't even have to go to the Book of Manning, because David Cutcliffe, when he was in Oxford, one of the main reasons that Eli came there was because of David Cutcliffe. Yes.
Eli had told me personally he was going to Virginia if Cutcliffe went at Ole Miss. So, yeah, you were right.
Yeah.
I've had plenty of interactions with the Mannings due to Eli's years at Ole Miss. I'm very thankful for that.
Well, let's touch on the actual last game that Peyton played in, the Super Bowl. Did you get the feeling, and I know it was the big hype with the whole dab BS and all that stuff, but I was looking at it more of a realistic standpoint, from the fact that Peyton Manning just had to clean up, because that defense for Denver was one of the best defenses I've ever seen, and they were going to go all out for that last win for Peyton Manning. That's my
Peyton. Peyton had to do what Peyton does best: manage the game and not give it away. And he did that perfectly. May I say, Peyton Manning-esque?
Yeah, it definitely was. I mean, this is wild. It wasn't one of those Super Bowls where you sit back and you go, damn, I got to watch that again. It wasn't one of those. Like, I watched... And I'm a biggest football fanatic, and I watched Lady Gaga sing more than I did that Super Bowl, because it was under control from the first snap from Von Miller.
Yeah.
Von Miller was dominating that deal. But bottom line is, Peyton Manning, his legacy, I say, is one of the great film NFL gurus, the ins and outs, that probably I will ever see in my lifetime.
So are you saying Peyton Manning's the best quarterback to ever play in the NFL?
Peyton Manning. Okay, I'm 38 years old. Tom Brady's not retired yet. So right now, at my age, Peyton Manning is the best that has ever played. Now, I'm a Brett Favre guy. He's always going to be my number one. But when I'm speaking realistically on walk the plank, Peyton Manning is number one.
So what about Joe Montana, Steve Young, Troy Aikman?
They're great. You could go tick for tat, but numbers don't lie.
No.
In a numbers game, numbers don't lie. And it's not so much about rings and all that. It's about what he did for the football league in general and what he did. Like, he basically brought the Colts back to dominance. He made them important again. The Marvin Harrisons and Marshall Faulk. Can you imagine being... Think about this. Marshall Faulk had Peyton Manning. I didn't even dawn on me till I saw it on TV. I was like, man, he is old. I'm old. We're old. So...
No, he's old. I'm not old. He's old.
Yeah, I'm old as dirt. But,
His plank's going to break before he gets to the end of it. So damn old.
It's already broken. What are you talking about?
Crap.
But, anyway, we touched on Peyton Manning. And we're going to go to a quick break. And we're going to cover this UFC thing, man, because... We're going to get that out of the way because that's a really fun thing that's happening right now. And
absolutely, let's go to the draft.
You want to go to the draft before right before the break?
No, when we get back, before we go to UFC, let's go to the draft.
That's fine.
Because that offensive line for Carolina was one of the reasons, in my opinion, they lost. Because that Denver defensive line ate them alive play after play after play.
Yeah, Michael Orr actually got blindsided.
Play after play after play.
Yeah, he got totally dominated. I'm an Ole Miss guy, but I'm going to straight up tell you, I'm going to call it like it is. He got dominated. This isn't one of these deals where I'm going to come in and bat till the square, grind to the brass tacks, and just, I'm going to call for what it is. He got dominated, and Carolina is needing some offensive linemen big time, man. That whole situation is a bust.
Yeah, they need help with the offensive line. The disappointment for me in the Super Bowl was Carolina's offensive line. They couldn't do anything with Denver's defensive line. And I honestly thought Carolina would win that game because of their offensive prowess, and that was not the case.
No, it wasn't the case. So you're talking about draft, or you want to cover the whole draft prediction?
No, I think I just want to do this is from my reading, my research, my understanding, just kind of do the SEC first round.
This is going to be interesting. Yeah, go ahead.
You want to do it now? You can do it after the break.
No, I'm going to do it after the break. Yes, real quick, because I want to get the numbers out, because there's more to the draft than what people really think.
And we'll cover more in the draft when it gets closer, but for right now, I just after reading, and it'll be here, 6 weeks?
Yeah, for the most part, these draft guys know who they want last year.
Yeah, so let's take a quick break and see. I'm smiling. And Evan.
I ain't dabbing crap.
And we'll get right back to you.
All right, buddy.
Walk the plank.
Welcome, everybody, back to Walk the Plank Sports. We just took a quick break, and we're just going to go directly back into it again. And this is going to be, Tyler has compiled over a long period of time, of what he thinks that the draft is going to partake with what entails, what you think's important.
The SEC.
That's really all that matters at this point to us with what's going on. And then we will get back into other conferences at this point.
I'm going to tell you what I think, what I've got written down. You can read it right here. I'm going to go one by one, and you disagree or disagree.
All right. I'll read Tyler's scripture.
Can you read that?
It's in Braille, so let me work.
My head being so old, he can't see where shit is.
Okay. Tyler's got first pick going overall to Laramie Tunsil.
Tennessee taking Laramie Tunsil number one. You agree or disagree?
I firmly agree with that. I couldn't agree with it anymore in case somebody comes up and does a blockbuster trade. But at this point, they need that protection for their future in Mariota.
And they got their running back last day or two, y'all said.
They did.
So that opens up a little bit bigger hole.
All right, we're going to breeze through this real quick. We've got Tyler's got the second at number 9 coming in to Tampa Bay to VH, Mr. Vernon Hargreaves. If I actually agree with that. Tampa Bay, will they love these type of cornerbacks. Yeah, they really do. They love these. His third, he's got at pick 12. A'shaun Robinson out of Alabama.
Going to New Orleans. What do you think about that, Alabama fans? You agree? Disagree? Let us know. Interact with us.
Well, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will because I actually would move that around. I wouldn't have that with that, but that's a good pick.
I guarantee they're going to need defensive help. Their defense was horrible last year.
They're going to need defensive help, but I don't know. It just depends on who's still around. Now, because of, I'm going to make this quick. Because of the Kamdichi deal that's gone down with his mental stability and his and how the NFL scout, we all know that he's the best thing since sliced bread this year. I mean, he's cut the mold. He's just not mentally all there. So I agree with that. You know what? Number 12. So let's go down. I couldn't agree anymore. Megaquan replacing Megatron at Detroit. I don't like it, but it has to happen.
I figured you agree with that, because it makes sense.
They're
in a need for a receiver, and Laquan Treadwell is one heck of a receiver. He's got the same build and kind of pretty much the same players Megatron was. So, like you said, replace Megatron with Megaquan. It just makes sense.
It does make sense. Not because of the name, because they have similar styles
of play. Even with the name. Everything's right there. Same player.
We'll go with it. Okay, next pick. Tyler's got at number 19 coming in from Georgia, Leonard Floyd, linebacker for Buffalo. Buffalo needs a lot of help there. They really need a lot of help. I really don't know that they need a lot of help. I see a trade happening at this point. Buffalo needs a lot of help. But that's a pretty good.
They need linebackers.
They need linebackers.
That's what I could find with Leonard Floyd out of Georgia.
At this point, it's still the free agency, so we don't know. Good pick though. Here's what I'm going to highly disagree with. Pick 22, and it's not because of the person or the school. It's just because of this. Houston, he's got Derrick Henry going from the University of Alabama at pick 22. Okay, Houston does need a running back.
Bad, and
so does Carolina. And I don't see Derrick Henry jumping into the 22 spot.
Do you think he's gonna go lower?
I think he'll go
or higher. Like,
I don't think he'll go any high. I don't think he'll go 1 through 22. The reason I'm saying is that Derrick Henry's first two steps is not NFL quote unquote material at this point.
Because I think Derrick Henry is number 2, number 3 back in the draft.
I can't. No denying that. But like I said, I don't see him going that high. I wouldn't be shocked at this point because he is a stud once he gets running. He reminds me a lot of a guy named Eric Dickerson.
And he can take over ball games quick.
Yes. Now we're gonna jump down to the what we call the lotto pick, the gamble of the century, and it's quite a steal at Cincinnati. Tyler's got Big Rob, Robert Kamdichi, going to Cincinnati at 24. That is actually, if Cincinnati can pull this off, it is going to be the steal of the century because he is a top 5 pick. I actually had him going to the Jets.
He may, but let me make this clear, because I know people aren't arguing with him about him being going in the first round. He doesn't have to, not every team has to want him. Just one has to want him.
So they all want him, but they don't want to gamble on him.
It's a gamble. He takes plays off. He's got a...
Let's look at recent history real quick, and then we're going to jump on to Tyler's next pick. Randy Moss was a basket case.
But he turned out...
Randy Moss was totally a basket case. He was all world out of Marshall. There's been... Pac-Man is still in the game.
And who's the guy who played South Carolina?
I don't know. There's
two years ago, and I can't think of his name, played at South Carolina defensive tackle and had all kinds of fits with Steve Spurrier.
Oh, yeah.
You know, come out of
I know exactly what you're talking about. Let the viewers touch on that. But that's who we have going at 20, who Tyler has going at 24. I'm going to highly disagree. I say he's going to the Jets because he fits that crazy.
And I about put him with the Jets.
Yeah, he fits that crazy. Just they're crazy up there. Okay, next pick, King Kong, another Bama going in the first round to Seattle. That makes perfect sense at pick 26. Jaren Reed is a monster. He's everything is advertised. I agree with it. We're going to go straight to pick 27. He's got tight end Hunter Henry at Green Bay. That even makes more sense because this guy out of Arkansas is the real deal. He's the real deal. He's witness. Jason Witness. This guy is he's more than football. He's got it cerebrally. He's very good. Okay. Oh yeah. This hey, State fans, you're gonna like this because I do agree. I said earlier on several message boards, but I'm gonna go with it. I'm gonna stick with it. Denver, they get Chris Jones out of Mississippi State University. Yes, you will have a first rounder come out of Mississippi State University. I couldn't agree with that any more on that. The only one that I disagree with is the Kamdichie from Cincinnati going to the Jets.
The reason I didn't say to the Jets.
Or possibly
let me explain my
Derrick Henry.
Oh, let me explain my Kamdichie thing. We know he's got a troubled past or questionable past. New York's the worst city for him to go to.
The worst city for him to go to would be anywhere where there's
New Orleans, New York.
Nashville,
any of these big party cities. That'd be the Atlanta. Be the worst.
New Orleans would be awful for him to go to, and I couldn't see him anywhere in Florida. So that does make sense from Cincinnati from being a bust of a region because there's really Bengals. I really don't know. I haven't traveled that city much ever actually.
Me neither.
So we just covered the draft, man. We just covered the draft.
But since we arguing, let's go straight into UFC. Let's bang bang.
We're not gonna argue. I'm gonna let Tyler tell you his take on it, and then I'm gonna tell you what I know happened.
He knows. Let's take a break so we get these aluminum foil hats real quick for him. So he's all these conspiracy theories, which we're against, Wes. Against.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm telling you exactly what I saw. And we're going to get back into it. Since you want to take a break, we'll do a whole segment on the UFC, and that's the way it is. Back.
Peace.
Walk the plank.
All right. We are back. Walk the plank sports. We took a quick break to pull our thoughts together on this as what is UFC. It's got an interesting take on it and how, because I grew up with it. Back when you would have a big Samoan fight, a rail thin crackhead.
That you could do anything.
Anything. There was no rules to it. And it went under. Everybody knows the story on it. Boxing has taken a big blow.
It's almost killed boxing.
Floyd Mayweather killed boxing. It's boring.
How many people actually stay awake on to watch his fights, because that would put you to sleep.
Well, I don't want to watch anybody run around the ring.
That's what I'm saying. Nobody really does, do they?
No, you. In order to, I don't know. We'll get with that later. A lot of people can hate on all they want to, but that's my take on boxing. For anybody who knows out there, boxing and football is my favorite. Fighting is in boxing.
We're talking about boxing. We just got done watching a thing on Mike Tyson versus
Evander Holyfield.
Yeah, with the ear biting, which a lot of stuff I didn't know about. They actually had live audio from the ring of the referee talking to both corners, and how Mike Tyson switched out mouth guards. Did you know that?
I knew that Evander Holyfield had a problem with headbutting his ass in the face.
But that wasn't that
three or four. I mean, he's done it his whole career. That's Evander Holyfield did.
That one fight, that's just what Evander Holyfield did.
Props Diet Coke, yeah.
Surprised you're not drinking Tab.
Yeah, I know, right? Okay, UFC. Tyler, you talk, and then I'm going to, because I have a whole different theory than what the Rousingites think. Go ahead.
I don't know how many of you actually watch UFC. I know some of you do because we've had conversations on this. He calls me a rousing. I'm a rousing fan, but I'm not hardcore bent over backwards conspiracy theory rousing fan. If she gets beat, she gets beat. I don't have another reason why she gets beat or conspiracy theory why she gets beat. I don't walk the plank. Wes and I had a conversation Saturday night after the fight on the phone about the scorecard. So I decided to look up the scorecard, and I guess Wes and I, we would both be right on our assumptions on that, on who was winning the fight. Because
regardless, Holm would have won.
You know, Holm would have wound up winning. The fight would have gone as it's going. Tate would have won that last round if there's takedown and probably kept her on the ground for a little bit like she did in the second round. And it would have been a tie, which the belt would have gone back to Holmes. Tate choked her out and won the fight. I'll let Wes tell you more about that once we get done with McGregor and Diaz. But McGregor actually won the first round. And McGregor's winning the second round until he tired out. And that's why I think his biggest mistake was he didn't do cardio enough because he got tired in the middle of the second round toward the end. And that's where he got choked out. Funny thing is, though, both Holm and McGregor were, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, were both the favorites, right?
I know
Holm was. I'm not sure about McGregor.
Yes.
But they both got choked out by rear naked choke holds. Funny coincidence, but coincidence. Wes, I'll let you have the floor. This is your deal right here.
This isn't my deal. I'm just speaking. I know you don't agree with me because let's break it down. I'm going to get to the Rousey myth straight off the bat. Can anybody name me a women's champion in UFC before Ronda Rousey?
I can. This guy can.
Of course you can. What is it, Latex Rousey?
Latex? There wasn't one. Rousey
Correct.
Was the first one.
Correct. And this is what's leading me into it. If anybody knows anything about UFC...
How many of you actually knew that? Honestly, how many of you actually knew that? Go ahead.
Well, I did. Okay. Before Rousey... The women's pull was not strong in UFC. So anybody that watches the UFC basically knows that Dana is head over heels with Ronda Rousey because she has brought the sport back for not brought it back because it's always been there. What I'm talking about is a whole new audience. You've got Ronda Rousey walking out there with The Rock during WrestleMania. Who might I add is coincidentally WrestleMania is coming right back up with Holm losing. But the whole deal is money-based. Anybody that knows the UFC knows that Dana White is the next Vince McMahon. And what I'm getting at is this. Ronda Rousey, she's great for the sport, but... She's bad for the sport because she's made it to Dana White where that's all it is. People are focused on Ronda Rousey. As a matter of fact, when Holly Holm, and you can vouch for this, when Holly Holm was choked out with three minutes into the fifth round or whatever,
yeah, fifth round.
The very first text that was sent out was to Ronda Rousey from who? Dana White. And the first thing he said was, "Did you watch the match?" And he said, "No."
She said no.
Let's turn around. She said no. And he said Holly won. And she said, quote unquote, "I guess that means I need to put the gloves back on." So basically what I'm saying is she had no intention.
Back your point on this. This, again, isn't what he thinks was said. This was reported by several media outlets. And if you get back to us and really want us to prove that to you, holler at us, inbox, text us, Facebook us, whatever, and I will share the several outlets that had that story just to back that what he's saying is correct, legit, and true.
So, what I'm saying is this. Ronda Rousey basically had no intention of putting the gloves on from what she said that came out of her mouth.
And she still might not.
But this is what I'm getting at, though. Before I lose my train of thought, because it's so easy for me to do. But the thing is that you're talking a 34-year-old grown woman and Holly Holm, who's a 19-time world champion.
Well, Ronda Rousey's a 3-time gold medalist.
Tit for tat, she got crushed by this 34-year-old. What I saw and what the world saw, not just me, this is the reason it's not a conspiracy, this is a fact. During the Ronda Rousey and Holly Holm, they went directly at each other. What are you doing? They went directly at each other, and we saw the result with the Ronda Rousey, Holly Holm. Fast forward to Misha Tate. You're mean to tell me that a 19-time world champion against a silver medalist in Misha Tate, who got destroyed by Ronda Rousey, what, 3 times?
Twice? In under a minute.
It was nothing.
After the first one.
So they're basically not even going to physically altercate. They did one time in the second round where Misha Tate was on top of her, and it really didn't amount to anything. So it was stalemate up until the fifth, and then out of the blue, you could just feel it. Okay, didn't you feel that this was just going to come to a decision and Holly was going to walk off with a belt?
No, I actually didn't. I actually told my dad.
That's the aluminum full helmet. Okay.
No, you know, that's my dad. I was watching the fight with him, and I said, I got a feeling Misha Tate's going to knock her out. I just had a gut feeling. I didn't know she'd choke her out. I just had a feeling Misha Tate, Holly Holm would walk into one.
But you can't say that Holly ever tapped out with Misha Tate. So
no, she went to sleep.
Yeah, she went to sleep. She's a champion.
She was dreaming.
She is not unlike Conor McGregor. Oh, yeah, and this brings up the point. This brings up the point of the Ronda myth. Because I'm going to bust this for you guys. Did you know Conor McGregor went up a weight class to fight Diaz?
Yes.
Okay? Fact. How come Dana White would not allow Ronda Rousey to meet Ronda? Just simply said, I'm not going up a weight class to face Cyborg. I'm going to tell you why. Because she knows it's not a beatable person. So Dana White went in and brought in Holly Holm, who obviously was supposed to be a shoe-in fight and a win for Ronda Rousey. Didn't work out that way. Let's re-scramble the deck.
I mean, Dana White did say he was shocked that Holm beat Rousey. That's on video.
Yeah, he totally was in until this day. When you're talking of the owner of the company is personally texting fighter. I'm sure he did, but he didn't say. Okay, my point is this. If you have other champions like Conor McGregor who go up a weight class to just get choked out to an aging wrestler, a fighter, why doesn't Ronda do it? Why is Ronda, after the fight, automatically given the option to fight Tate again? You know why? Because she's already beat her. So I'm giving Holly Holm about a year to 2 years left. She's pretty much done. My prediction, if Ronda comes back, she might take Misha Tate. If she doesn't take Misha Tate, she's retired. So basically what I'm saying is this. We all know Ronda's not going to fight Cyborg again. Ever. I'm thinking Holly Holm. Because I personally don't see Ronda fighting Holly Holm again. I don't even think she's going to come back. She's a millionaire. What has she got to lose? Get her teeth get knocked out again or get choked out? See, my thing is this. Tyson said it best. You know, the best way to win a fight is to knock somebody out. You don't bend their arm. You don't go to a street fight and put somebody in a rear naked chokehold. Because my God, if it don't work, you're going to get your ass kicked. My point is this, is that Ronda has yet to, if she wants to fight the fight, she has to fight Holly Holm again.
And she will.
And if she beats him again, well, what if she doesn't beat Misha Tate? What if she goes to sleep?
What if I win the lottery? What if?
So you're comparing a lottery to her? You have that much confidence in Ronda Rousey beating Misha Tate?
Yeah.
That's insane. She can't even eat an apple right now.
Haven't touched her around.
No, Holly did.
We're talking about Misha Tate.
Yeah, I'm saying Ronda can't even eat a damn apple right now. She has to get in order before she can.
She's not coming back before November, October.
We'll see. That's what's going to be interesting, because my whole theory, and the reason we're talking about this, is not about Holly Holm or Conor McGregor, even though it sounds that way. It's the whole concept of Dana White being the next Vince McMahon. I do think there's somewhat play in there to where he makes the money, because he's not going to give the audience and the viewers a crap bill. He is a Don King, basically. No. Dana White, yes, he's every bit of it.
Don King.
He's in charge. He's self-promoting. He's pushing. He has the weigh-ins. Who's standing in between the fighters when they weigh in? It's Dana White.
Don King put people in jail, stole their money. Do you actually see Dana White doing that?
I don't know. Don King, well, Dana White needs to worry about Ronda Rousey's beating future husband. Wife beating husband, since she solely was against. Talk about a what's the word?
So Ronda being a hypocrite has to go back on.
I'm not sold on her being a champion, because
best they've got. I mean,
are you talking about in the women's?
Yeah.
No, she's not. They won't bring Cyborg in there. Well, period.
Discuss that with Dana
White. Period.
But I'm saying in the UFC.
That's because Cyborg looks like a man.
And she talks like one.
He's not. Cyborg is not politically correct.
But you're not listening to what I'm saying. That
I'm listening to exactly what you're saying. You're on the Ronda bus, and when she falls down,
you went. And I said she got beat when she got beat. Did I not?
You see, you told me you also almost cried too.
I was in tears.
I mean, damn. I mean, it's just a fight. I mean, I'm not on the Holly and Ronda route. What I'm saying is that UFC, I've lost a lot of respect for it. That is what I'm getting at.
Let's differentiate. Let's go each fight. First fight, Ronda Rousey versus Holly Holm. Ronda Rousey got rocked, and Ronda Rousey, in her own words, said she was panicked and trying to end the fight. She rushed Holly Holm.
Do you believe her? She said she didn't like men that beat women. She's dating one. I don't believe anything that woman says.
Well, that's what she did. She kept rushing her, so I mean, why not believe
her? Yeah, well, she met somebody who looked like a man and got knocked out. But what I'm saying is, go in with what you're saying.
But anyway, she panicked. She tried to end the fight. In her own words, tried to end the fight, and she got knocked out.
And then got on public TV and said she's going to contemplate suicide.
Yeah, there's nothing.
What champion does that?
But anyway,
go ahead. Muhammad Ali ain't going to put a gun to his head.
Anyway, Misha Tate made Holly Holm track her around the ring. She didn't rush to Holly Holm. That's for running.
That wasn't a fight. That was a cat fight. I don't care how
they can't box with Holly Holm. I agree. Holly Holm is the best boxer in the UFC bantamweight division.
In any division. She's a 19-time... Yeah, do you know who I would like to see face Holly Holm without the little flimsy tap outs and all that stupid crap? I would like to see Layla Ali in actually real fight with Holly Holm.
So you want to see him in a boxing ring?
I don't care, no gloves, but I don't want to see them get on there and hug each other for 5 minutes and wait to pull an arm. That's not fun to me.
That's what I'm saying.
That's not fun to me. I don't like it. That's the reason the whole Conor McGregor thing was fun to me against Diaz, is because they were actually going at it. They were punching. You know, I see the time. They were punching. And the thing is that Diaz, I know we're way off base, but I forgot to touch on Diaz because it's such an exciting time to be a black eye in the sport. Conor McGregor, Diaz was playing like Rocky. Conor McGregor punched himself tired.
Yeah, like I said,
that's what I saw.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
I exactly saw it. But at no point did I see Holly Holm it didn't even look right. It didn't even resemble anything from the past 15 years that I've seen her fighting. That's my point. And I'm not saying it's a conspiracy, because time will tell, and that's the magic of Dana White.
Of an individual or team underestimating their opponent?
Team's different than...
I said individual.
Yeah, it happens all the time, but I don't think that it's clear that Holly Holm didn't underestimate her opponent, because she never freaking punched her.
I mean,
punched her. She never did any of that.
So
it was a lame fight.
Devil's advocate. You don't think she saw Ronda just dominate Misha Tate?
Okay, anybody that knows UFC knows what I'm talking about. Anybody that knows boxing, fighting, knows what I'm talking about, and they know Dana White. Before Ronda Rousey...
Walk the plane.
before Ronda Rousey, we would be having this conversation. Because who was your favorite female fighter before then? You don't know.
I didn't have one. But my favorite fighter before then, was Chuck Liddell.
Chuck Liddell. Anyway, great segment, guys. Great segment. I'm going to take a break, and then we're going to come back. What are we covering next? We are going to go into... You want to go into Harbaugh?
Let's do it.
Yeah,
we're going to Harbaugh.
Walk the plank.
Welcome back to Walk the Plank Sports. We had a killer segment, and it gets better. It gets better. Okay. Would you say that IMG High School has come down to place themselves amongst one of the best in the country?
I mean, most definitely.
They are by far that. Now, that brings me to this. IMG...
Ronda Rousey did not go there. Don't get on that.
No, this is something even bigger than that. Talk about conspiracies.
Latex.
Man, I'm telling you what, latex, aluminum helmets, pull them out because it's happening. Harbaugh has decided to take his team down to IMG.
Which he's already done. He didn't decide. He did.
He did. Harbaugh to Michigan to go down there and set up spring practice. Now, this is brilliant by Harbaugh because it was during the dead period, which means there's no contact.
Let me ask you this. Do you know why Harbaugh was allowed to? And these other SEC coaches that try to come visit the practice?
Because it's a dead period.
How could Harbaugh get down there and not the other coaches?
Well, tell the viewers.
Do you know?
I'm trying to figure it out myself.
Because Michigan paid to rent that facility out for spring football.
Okay, well then here's what we're going to do. All the SEC teams, let's just go camp out at... Where do you think Hawaii or where do you want to go?
Allen, Texas. They got some good players out there. Texas for spring.
Let's go
South Florida. Hey, let's go to Disney World, Orlando.
I got one. Why doesn't Auburn set up spring practice in Tuscaloosa?
There you go.
I mean, this is how crazy it sounds.
And that's what's going to take in this because the SEC tried to ban that, not allow it to happen, but the NCAA looked the other way. What's going to within this, instead of complaining about it, is, let's say, Alabama, for instance. You know, 1 week send receivers to, like I said, Orlando, South Florida. It's a hotbed for receivers. Then Allen, like the offensive lineman, go to Allen, Texas, somewhere in Texas for a hotbed for offensive lineman. And then, you know, some other place for running backs or this, that, the other. Even leaving Arkansas after he was denied going down there for lunch to see the Michigan spring practice. He was told no, he couldn't. He tweeted out, let's go to Jamaica. That's a true tweet. You go back and believe his Twitter.
Actually, take it a step further. During the first initial presser from Oxford, Hugh Freeze said that he actually sent in a request to go down there and observe practice.
And was denied.
He was immediately denied by... the whole deal.
Yeah, so the rest of the SEC coaches that wanted to go.
Yeah, it wasn't just SEC coaches that wanted to go down there and check out the deal. You got to believe that Ohio State.
Michigan State wanted to go.
Yeah. So, my question is this. How is this not bending? Okay. This is the aluminum foil helmets. Everybody's saying Ole Miss is getting the hammer because of a butt dial or a loaner car, but it's okay to go to IMG and set up practices around future recruits? Do you mean to tell me that they're going to put a muzzle over Jim Harbaugh and put one of those gimp gags on him and so he can't? I guarantee you, even if he doesn't say one word to any of these athletes and these top recruits in the country, they're at least watching Michigan practice because they're not told to leave the premises because they pay to go to school at IMG.
And Michigan paid for them to practice there. Harbaugh even invited family and friends of IMG Academy to attend open practices.
Do I look upset right now? I'm upset about, yes, I'm pissed. Because this is not fair for college football. Harbaugh has found the ultimate loophole, and I guarantee you, it ain't gonna happen next year. Those boys are not going back to IMG next year.
They may not. Somebody else may.
Man,
but until they shut
Nick
it down.
Saban will find a way. If he has to meet him at the airport again, he'll find a way to set camp up at IMG. Maybe have IMG come there for some type of deal. I don't know.
But here's the thing. Harbaugh is messing with the wrong people in SEC.
Woo, what you talking about?
That conference is nowhere near the strength of the SEC. And I think y'all all agree with this. I mean, he's, you know, bad mouth. I'm going to say bad mouth. But he's had some innuendo tweets to Belimit, Arkansas, to Butch Jones in Tennessee. I promise you, if they see them in postseason, they're not going to forget those tweets. And Harbaugh will see the real deal of football with the SEC.
Well, my whole thing is,
I mean, name one team other than Florida. Congrats, Michigan, on that win. And the SEC, Michigan would have won. What game would they have won in the SEC other than Florida?
What game would they have won?
Yeah, versus team, bowl, any bowl eligible team that played in the bowl from the SEC last year.
I don't know, because Michigan State definitely shouldn't have been in there. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of teams that shouldn't have been in there.
Bama fans, remind me, how bad did y'all beat Michigan State? And didn't Michigan State beat Michigan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Harbaugh, you're barking up.
Wait a minute. Michigan had three potential second or first round quarterbacks switching out to wide receivers. They had a team that they, you know what? Doesn't matter. Bottom line is Jim Harbaugh.
Walk the plank.
Walk the plank.
Walk the plank sports. We are back for the final segment. We're just going to make it very quick because we're winded. And we're going to go into, we had a request.
Actually, viewer question. I don't know if I can say the name or not because I didn't get permission to do that. So I'm not going to do that. They asked our prediction or thoughts on Ole Miss baseball.
And that's right up our alley. So
yeah, we actually watched the game this afternoon. And Ole Miss won 6-4 over Southeast Missouri State, I think it was.
Yep. We took two from.
Yeah. I mean, 2-0 against them. And I jot down the schedule. I didn't jot down the out-of-conference schedule because I think Ole Miss will win at least 90% of those.
So what was the question that they want to know? Where was Ole Miss going to fall? Or?
Yeah, our thoughts and opinions on it, pretty much.
I can take a little bit of that. It starts with pitching. And I think that Ole Miss has an excellent pitching staff.
Well, we get deep this year. Mike Bianco said before the season, our weaknesses last year was clutch hitting. When I say clutch hitting, I mean runners in scoring position, which is second, third base, and getting those guys home. We struggled there last year. And also pitching. And like Wes said, we got a really good pitching staff. We're really deep, really deep. I think we go 8-9, maybe even 10 deep.
Short is one of the best closers I've seen. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's up for closure of the year. And our starting pitcher, I think we had one back, and that's Smith from last year. And he was supposed to be, you know, our Friday night or Saturday night starter, but tore his rotator cuff, I think it was, and had to have surgery.
So right now, the Rebels are sitting
at, what, 13-1, 12-1?
Yeah, that's crazy. And they're going in into, they beat Louisville, they dropped Memphis, they dropped Arkansas State.
Coastal Carolina.
Coastal Carolina is a top 20 team. Dropped Southeast Missouri State. And actually, you know what? What I told you earlier tonight when I was watching them, what impressed me most about this Ole Miss baseball team was their tenacity, how they didn't quit. When they're down in the count, I've seen them time and time again come back. Like they were down, 0-6 against Memphis and came back.
And won.
See, that didn't happen with Memphis. I mean, you know that, 4th and 25, but I mean.
That was Arkansas.
But go ahead.
But that goes back to my point about, you know, our weaknesses from last year, our strengths this year. Last year, we got down 4-2, I think, late in the game tonight. And came back and won. Last year, this team would have folded. We couldn't get the clutch hit. We would have lost that game, probably 4-5-2, and, but we came back and won the night. Like I said, they had the out-of-conference schedules, but we got a horrible team coming to Oxford this weekend, which is sweep, no problem. Wes and I could play and sweep them. Then we got play at UAB for two games during the week next week, which we should win 2-0. Then we go to University of Tennessee. University of Tennessee, I do not believe, is really that good in baseball this year. Ole Miss should easily win 2 or 3, possibly sweep. Then out of conference, I'm not sure. Then we got University of South Carolina. That's another top 20, top 15 team, maybe even top 10.
Well, this is a lot. So, yeah, get to the fat ones here.
Well, they're all fast, but I didn't add to the out of
conference. Yeah. You're right. So, Arkansas series, it's going to be close.
Let me just run out, so I'll do it real quick.
Go ahead.
USC at home, that's usually 2 or 3 wins. 2 of 3 at home. They're top 20 team. At State, which is the big rivalry. And you know Mississippi State's going to be, they're going to be itching to beat Ole Miss or something, since they haven't done it in the last 40 years, it seems like. I think Ole Miss wins 2 or 3 there. Arkansas at home, they're always tough. I think Ole Miss wins 2 or 3 there. At Bama, Bama's usually around average in baseball. I think Ole Miss wins 2 or 3 on the road. Auburn at home, I think that's a sweep. LSU at home, that's going to be a battle. I can see Ole Miss.
I don't care what LSU's ranked.
I can see them losing 1 or 3, but I just have a sneaky suspicion this team will find a way to win 2 or 3. At UGA, they're about average. I think Ole Miss wins 2 or 3 there. Kentucky at home, that's a sweep. And at Texas A&M, that's
a toss-up.
That is a toss-up. You can either be 1 win or 2 wins at most.
So you're predicting a 40-win-plus?
Yeah, 40-plus wins, host a regional, and depending on the Texas A&M game and how they do midweek versus out-of-conference, I can see them easily winning 44, 45 games, being hosting a regional, hosting a super regional. And this team reminds a lot of the team of 2 years ago that made it to Omaha and finished third in the nation, which I don't think you'll see it as tough as field this year as you did 2 or 3 years ago. So you can very, very easily see this Ole Miss team make a deep run in the postseason.
Hey, good stuff. I can't argue with it. I can't argue with that at all. It's just that Ole Miss is very impressive with their pitching. I've already said that. I've already touched on all of the cute little things that they've tweaked on. They're pretty much a solid team. And you know what? They're a small team. They're fast. Fielding is impressive. Like anything I've ever seen. Like some crazy catches. Who's an All-American on the team? Robinson?
Yeah, Errol Robinson's the only one I know of.
Yeah.
Or as of right now.
Before the season's over, Baseball America, you could see 2 or 3 All-Americans from that squad. Well, guys, girls, ladies, gents, it's been good, great. Hopefully with the new camera and sound, we're gonna be somewhere else on the next segment, episode, whatever you may call it.
Let me make this point, and I plead to y'all, interact with us. I got one question this week about Ole Miss baseball. We will always, we'll always dedicate at least one segment to your questions.
Yeah.
Try to answer the best I can.
Clearly we had to touch on that because that's the only request.
But interact. Like somebody said, I need to smile more. They want to see my dimples. See? Dimples. Like, good show, bad show, enjoyed this segment, didn't like that segment, cut this out, add this. What about this? What about that? Let us know. I mean, interact with us. It's for y'all just as much as it is for us. And sponsors, or potential sponsors, same thing. Hit us up. We would do the best for you. We take pride in doing this. We have fun with it, but we do take pride in it.
I can't wait to go mobile.
Oh, I can't either.
Man, it's going to be awesome.
We have just scratched the surface, I promise you that. And for your first-time viewers, again, let us know.
So, Tyler, have you touched on everything? You feel good about this?
Yeah, pretty good. More things, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube.
Yeah, yes.
I will scroll those across the page or across the video like I do every time. But hit us up. Until then, peace.
See you guys.